If you snorkel or you do any scuba diving, then you're going deeper and you can see what's under the sea and you discover such incredible riches. Tomorrow I'm going to be flying up to Sacramento, and kick off a women's Bible study up there. And they're going to be studying using our 1 Peter study. And they want me to teach an overview of 1 Peter. Now remember, we did 1 Peter last year. I've not only overviewed it, but, you know, I've been diving deep in 1 Peter. And I found when she asked me to do the overview, I thought, I don't know how I can do that because I know the riches of 1 Peter now. How can I talk about just the surface stuff? And I found it to be very challenging. And I talked to her about it, and then I was praying with her, and I said, you know, Lord, I've taught this before. Show me what these ladies might need to hear. And so I hung up and I started working on the study, and I thought, well, I'm going to kind of talk about my dilemma in the overview and use the ocean example. And I'm typing away on my computer, and it was like the Lord said to me, no, not the ocean, the mall. The mall. Yeah, overview the mall. You know, so I called her up. I said, what's the mall in Roseville? And she said, it's the Galleria. I said, okay, well, apparently your ladies are into shopping more than snorkeling because the Lord wants me to talk about the mall as the example. And I really had fun doing it, and I thought probably you're more into shopping than snorkeling too. So I thought we would use the example of the mall. So here's Parkway Plaza. See, you're much more familiar with an overview of Parkway Plaza. Now, if you see Parkway Plaza, if you're flying over it, you see, you know, there's a Penny's, there's a Macy's, there's a Mervyn's and a Sears. There's, of course, we can't forget Walmart. In the center is our theaters, and then over on the other side of the parking lot, we've got the Borders and the Best Buy and Office Depot. And so you can see from a flyover interesting things like that. You can see from this flyer who the author is of Parkway Plaza. It's Westfield. Now, it's important to know the author. Why? Because you that are familiar with Westfield know that if I just say it's a Westfield mall, you know some things that you can expect. You moms with young children know that you can go to the information booth and check out a stroller that looks like a car, right? You know that you can get free helium balloons at the information center. So there's things that just knowing the author helps you understand. You know there's going to be kiosks inside a Westfield mall. The author of Galatians is Paul. We talked a little bit about him last week, and he wrote a lot about himself in chapters 1 and 2, and so we'll see that in a deeper way. But it's important to know the author because we want to know, how did this ex-Pharisee who lived for the law all of a sudden be so determined to tell people, it's not the law, it's grace, it's grace, it's grace. What happened? So it's very important to know an author of a book. And in this case, it's important to know the author of the mall. It's very important to know the author's purpose. Now, the author's purpose for Parkway Plaza is making shopping better for you. We find in Galatians 5:1, the purpose is, maybe I don't have it up there, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, in Galatians 5:1, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, that's Paul's purpose. That's his goal, Galatians 5:1. That's the reason why he wrote this letter. Knowing the purpose will help us understand when we read other verses what he's talking about. If you ask me to tell you from a flyover of the mall what I saw, I'd say something like, well, there's a Macy's, a Penny's, you know, not real excited about it, you know. There's a Best Buy, there's a Border, there's a theater. And the overview of the mall would probably, if you were interested in going shopping, think, okay, that's kind of what I'm interested in. I want to go deeper. I want to go to that mall. I want to park. I want to go in and search it out. If you did that, you might walk into Macy's, and then you might walk into their shoe department, you know, and you might buy the shoes. You might take it home. You might walk into another department store and buy something else. And so then, if I said to you, what's the mall like? You wouldn't just go, oh, there's a Penny's and there's a Macy's. What'd you say? Macy's having a sale, and have you seen the shoe department? And Penny's has got these great sweaters, and there's a Starbucks, you know? And you'd be all excited. And see, so we look for an overview of Galatians to get a feel, but then that's supposed to make us want to go deeper and get excited about what is going on. So that for you that have not done an overview, I want to point out a couple things if you haven't done homework like this inductive before. Keywords help you understand what is being said. And I took keywords and I made up a chart. Now, this is what I did. Now, I know probably none of you are going to do anything like this, but this is the first thing I did when I started tackling Galatians. I don't read commentaries first. I want to know what the book is about just from the Lord showing me. So I just started. I listed keywords. Now, God and Jesus are always keywords. They're not up on the chart here. But I just want you to kind of see what can be done without commentaries to get a feel of a book. So I started just listing each time the keyword was used. And then I would circle the keywords that were used most in the chapters. And then I totaled each one of the key words. Now, as I said, God and Jesus are very important, and you also want to list the pronouns like he and who. They are mentioned 72 times in Galatians. Now, just so you know, I would never attempt to do this without a Bible program. It's a lot easier. Also, the contrasting word but is listed 52 times. 52 times in 6 chapters. Now, that tells me what? This is going to be a book about contrasts. Contrast of what? Well, quite possibly some of the 3 main key words. Law, flesh, versus faith, and the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, as I read the book, I started seeing it. He kept contrasting these terms. Now, all that said, I left out one key word, the word that is really used more than any other word in this letter. And it's not a word about a thing, it's a word about a person, and it's Paul. He wrote about himself. He refers to himself 125 times in just these 6 chapters, most of it in the first 2 chapters. So by using just something like this, I can start to get a feel of what Galatians is about. Galatians 1 and 2, as I started marking Paul, is really about Paul and his authority to preach the gospel. Because what's happening here, these people are saying, who are you? You were so into the law. Who are you to tell us now that we have to ignore the law? And so in these first 2 chapters, Paul's reminding them. And so you could really ask the question about these first 2 chapters, who can we believe? And they're going to answer that. And then chapters 3 and 4, it's about bondage versus faith. It's about how can we be saved? What are the essentials of salvation? And chapters 5 and 6, it's about the law and our flesh versus the Holy Spirit. Okay, we know that the gospel that Paul preached is true. We know what the gospel is. And now in 5 and 6, he moves into, and this is how, as believers, you and I can live in the power of the gospel over the bondage of the flesh and the law. So I titled Galatians, I thought, you know, I would title it, You Are Free. Now live it. Now, as I said, I readily understand that most of you aren't into that at all, but, you know, you have to bear with me because I had so much fun making that chart. Now, I want to spend the rest of the time looking at that handout you received, which is, as I said, similar to your homework that you'll pick up. The first thing that you will be asked to do is to read Galatians 1, 1 to 10. Now, right away, typically we skip that part, don't we? Yeah, I'm just going to start answering the questions. I encourage you, read it. You know, most of the time it won't be real long, but go through and don't skip that part. And then question one asks you, after reading through these verses, what would you say to someone if they ask you what they were about? Again, what do a lot of us do? I'm going to answer that one after I've done the whole Bible study, after I've done all the homework. Then I'll know what it's about. Is that observation? No. it's already figuring it out with some interpretation when we go back. So the reason why that's put as the first question is so you will just write down the obvious facts. Now, what I typically do is sometimes I'll take a separate sheet of paper because you're not given a lot of room, and I'll start writing down what's obvious, and then I'll kind of nutshell it. So get back in your groups and kind of talk about, have someone read the first 10 verses out loud, and then in your groups talk about what some of the facts are. Just the obvious. Using words of the text. Okay, here's some of the, what I would say, obvious facts. It's from Paul to the churches in Galatia. Paul's an apostle through Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. Paul marveled that they had so soon turned away to a different gospel. There were some who wanted to pervert the gospel. If anyone preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. If Paul sought to please men, he would not be a bondservant of Christ. Now notice I used the same words, but there was a lot there. We don't give you a lot of room in your homework. Some of you will pick out more, some less, but this gives you the basics. Now sometimes I'll write that, I'll write it under the subject portion sometimes. But if I were going to nutshell it, I'd just say Paul, as an apostle, marveled that they turned away to a different gospel than he preached. Someone asked me what it was about. That is how I'd nutshell it. Now, keeping in mind that I'm naturally a really good nutsheller. You know, I'm good at taking a lot and nutshelling it. My weakness is taking a little and expounding on it and explaining it, so it's easy for me to do that. But then now look at 1A. It says here you're asked to list the subjects in each paragraph division. Now sometimes it's helpful to do this before you do number one, because you're kind of picking out what's important about the text. Now this is what I wrote in subjects: introduction, Paul to Galatians, the source of Paul's apostleship, Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. That's what I wrote under 1 to 5. Under 6 to 10, I wrote Paul marveled that they had turned to another gospel. If anyone preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. Paul sought to please God, not men. And now from the subjects, we move to titling. So if you look under in your little homework sheet there, it's right under Galatians 1, 6 to 10, you see that question: how would you title each section? And then you're asked to record titles on the chapter, paragraph, division, and titles chart. You'll get that when you pick up your homework tonight. That chart seems to scare ladies. You know, it's like when you see that word title, you go back to school and you think, there's a right title for this section, and I don't know what it is. But I'm sure all the rest of the ladies in the group know. And so I'm not going to do this. But see, it's your title. It's your worksheet. You're not handing it in. And the reason, there's a purpose for why we ask you to do things. And that for the purpose of the title is to practice, for you to practice, to get rid of all the peripheral stuff and zero in on a few things that that section is about, so that when you look at what you've written there about the title, you go, oh yeah, that's right. That was what that's about. And so it's going to be different for each one of us. And different depending on what kind of mood you're in. If you read the book of Philippians, it's about servanthood. It's about joy. You know, you may be in a really joyful mood, and when you're reading Philippians, all you see is the joy in it, you know. So your title is going to be like that. Another time you'll read it and you see the suffering that Jesus went through, the humiliation he went through, the thinking of others that we're encouraged to do. And so your title is going to be like that. So it'll be different. But I just want to encourage you to do the titling. It's yours, and it will help you remember what it's about, and it will also help you kind of zero in and have a better understanding. So I just wrote in, for my first one, I just put Paul, an apostle through Christ. And then for the second one, I love that word marvel, you know, so I wrote marveled, turned away to another gospel. So, and then you could come up with one, maybe accursed, those who preach another gospel. See, there's different things that you could come up with. Now, it says key words, and it says mark key words listed in number two, which is God, Jesus, grace, and gospel. So, what I want you to do is take your pencil and start marking, and you mark one key word at a time, because that's the only way you can really pay attention to what you're doing. If you try to memorize all four of them and mark them, you're going to miss the point. So, for example, we'll do God together. So, where's the first God in this section? It's in verse 1. And I like to mark God as a triangle. You can do it any way you want. God the Father, who raised him, that's speaking of Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God the Father, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us according to the will of our God. Now, if you do this with me, you will have your first day of homework done, so just keep that in mind. Where's the next reference to God? We've got Father here. Now, here we have, to whom be glory forever and ever. Is that God the Father or God the Son? Don't know right now. We're just doing an observation. So what I do is I will mark it as a Father, and then when we come back and mark Jesus, I'll mark a cross over it, so that basically tells me I'm not sure which one it is at this point. So again, see, it's overview. It's what's obvious. It's not doing research to try to figure anything out. Okay, him who called you, that's God the Father. If you don't know, again, put both. Have I got them? persuade men or God in verse 10. Okay, now if you would go through the text and mark the words for Jesus, remembering to mark any he's or whom's. And you can get really creative, you that are artistic. I used to know someone that drew little pictures for all of hers, and she took hours to do her observation worksheet, but it was very pretty. All right, if you'd work through this with me, we see that Jesus is mentioned in verse 1. If Jesus Christ were on the same line, I'd probably only mark it once, but since it's not, I'll mark it twice. God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ in 3, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. 6, the grace of Christ, gospel of Christ in 7, and the very end of verse 10. Did I miss any? Okay, now this morning, we were talking about the next word, which is grace, and I said it was only mentioned once because that was the only time I saw it was here in 3, but it's mentioned again in 6, so you will miss it sometimes. Now go through and find gospel and mark that, and it, the first instance of the use of gospel is in verse 6. All right, so we see gospel in 6 and in 7 and in 8 and in 9. And that's when we ask you to mark key words, that's what we're talking about doing. Just that. And you can mark them any way you want, just so something stands out to you. Now, typically the homework will have you mark what we call terms of conclusion. And I'll go back to that worksheet in a minute. Terms of conclusion are words like therefore, and so that, and so then, and for this reason. And they're important. because they often summarize a point that the author has been working towards. He'll be saying several verses trying to support a point, and then he'll say, therefore, and then you can see, okay, now I understand why he has been giving me all these supporting verses. For example, the purpose of this letter, remember Galatians 5:1, is stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Because Paul has been writing verse after verse after verse, telling us about how important it is to stand in the liberty that Christ has made us free in. And so terms of conclusion are important. Now, because Paul is taking a while to work towards his main points, there aren't any real terms of conclusion in this first section that we're working on as far as our homework. But there are contrasts. This book is full of contrasts, as I said, and Paul's not taking any time, or he's just getting right to these contrasts. Contrasts are words like but, and however, and nevertheless, and yet. There are three contrasts in these first 10 verses. So let's get back to those. And I just mark contrast with a backward C. And so the first contrast, he gets right to it. He says he's not an apostle through men, but through Jesus Christ. And see, you will see in question 3 of your homework, it asks you to mark your contrasts, or at least it will tell you to note them and then talk about that or write what you see. And so then we see the next one in verse 7. I should be using a different color on this so you could see it better. And then in verse 8. And that's all we're asking you to do when you mark contrast. Now, lastly, as far as this tonight goes, you've got that question 4 that says, choose one of the keywords and make a list. See if I can get to the right slide here. So because of time, we're going to work on that together. And we're going to make a list of what we have discovered about Jesus. So in verse 1, I just wrote, and this is going to be different, and you don't have to write everything. It's what you see as important about Jesus. But I see that he is the one that called Paul to be an apostle. And I always write down the verse reference so that when I look at it later, I can remember where I got the information I got. Then I see also in verse 1 that he is the one. Is that verse 1? God raised him from the dead. Which verse is that? Is that 1, 2? Okay. So I know that God raised him from the dead. And that's going to be something very exciting that we're going to look at when we start diving deeper into this letter. And then this one, some, I put grace and peace come from him. Some would say, oh, that's just a greeting. It's not important. So you could list it or not. Doesn't matter. So grace and peace come from him, verse 2. I think there was one that somebody brought up this morning that I missed. See anything yet? Okay. And then I from verse 4, what would you say that it says about Jesus? He gave himself for our sins. So see, Paul's just getting at it right away, what's important here. And you could make this a separate one, or I just put that we might be delivered. And then there's one more in 5, that in verse 4 that I saw, and that is, he gave himself according to whose will? So while Jesus was on earth, he submitted himself to the Father's will. And then lastly, I put, God calls people by his grace. And I found that in verse 6. Oh, now, I know verse 4 says, to him be glory forever and ever. And we added that on the chart this morning, and then I forgot about it tonight. So there's things that we'll all list differently. So when we say to make a list of something, that's all we're asking you to do. But ladies, you'll find that if you slow down and make the list, you'll start seeing things that you just don't see when you rush through the verses. Gospel. What did we learn about the gospel in verse 6? Kind of hard to word. I put, it is the grace of Christ. Now, when I write that, we have the tendency to say, well, what does that mean? I don't know yet. We're just writing down the obvious. So it's not time for interpretation, and that's where we get frustrated again. We'll write down, make a list, and there's things on the list, and we'll say, well, I don't even know what that means. It's okay. We'll get to it later. I wrote down from verse 6 that different gospels can be preached. From verse 7, I wrote that it can be perverted. Verse 8, very important, says if anyone preaches another gospel, what? Let him be accursed. And then the last thing I saw about the gospel is I see that it is to be received. We have to do something about it for it to be effective in our lives. So that in 2 hours of time, and you have been wonderful, and I thank you because I know I've given you a lot of information, but that in is a shorter version of inductive that I really recommend. You know, even if you say, I'm just going to do that inductive method in my devotions one time a week, I challenge you to just do that and just whet your appetite and to just see how much you can glean personally from the Word of God. You know, just one time a week. And then hopefully that this will help you in doing your homework and it won't be quite as scary. And again, you'll be encouraged to do this because I don't teach you this to give you a hard time or anything like that. I teach you this because I found that it's so valuable in learning the Word of God and applying the Word of God in our lives. And I want the best for you. And so when we give you this in homework, that first day is optional. But I really encourage you to start little by little tackling it. It's not rocket science. It's just really relaxing and allowing yourself to know, okay, this is my worksheet. This is just what I see. And allow yourself to know you're going to miss something sometimes, and that's okay. There's not a perfect list. It's your list. So, will you pray with me? Father, thank you that you speak to us. Lord, that your word is written for each one of us. You have told us that you reveal the things of the Spirit by the Spirit. And Lord, we get lazy, we get busy. And yet, Lord, you want to speak to us. The problem isn't that we want to speak to you and you don't want to listen. The problem is that you want to speak to us and we don't want to take the time to slow down and hear what you have to say. So Lord, I pray that we will be challenged. We will slow down. We will sit at your feet and read your word and write the things that you are showing us. And then, Lord, that we would be doers, that we would go to that last step and respond to the things you are showing us. And praise you, Lord, that we can know your promise is true, that we will be blessed indeed if we do these things. So we thank you that serving you, following you is all good stuff, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, ladies.